Thanks a lot for joining us. I'm Eric Carpenter. This is News Unbroken. It's been a while since I got anything put together that I wanted to post, mainly because so much has been happening so fast, and on a daily basis, we get just phony baloney information from the U.S. government and the mainstream media. Before you'll hear anything that I post, I've got to be 100% convinced that it is legitimate and true. And on a daily basis, we hear things that I know are absolutely 100% false on network radio and network TV. We're going to have a wide variety of things today because I've got to clear the desk off. I just keep piling up things and things keep coming in, and I think, man, I really should talk about this, but so, and then we've got even more things coming in faster than we can really deal with, and that's where we are in the world right now. Fast-paced disinformation. The globalists are in full speed ahead mode, and something that, well, some people have been concerned about for 30, 40 years. Well, it's all coming true, and back 30, 40 years ago, I thought, no, that couldn't be true, but it is all coming to pass. Let's get things started. We're going to first, because it's hitting each and every one of us right in the pocketbook, the craziness of gas prices. When Donald Trump was president, gas prices were pretty good. No sooner did Joe Biden get elected as gas prices have been going up. Has absolutely nothing to do with Russia and Ukraine. Let's go back during the campaign, a clip from Donald Trump.
We have more oil than anybody, okay? And it's an incredible thing that it's happened over the last few years, a lot of great things, and you're paying, what, $2 a gallon for your gasoline? That's okay. You know what that's like? That's like a tax cut. That's bigger than a tax cut. If Biden got in, you'd be paying $7, $8, $9. Then they say, get rid of your car.
Prices at some local gas stations, they're way above the average. Well, across the street from the Beverly Center, one of the most expensive places in L.A., drivers are paying this, nearly $7 for regular unleaded, nearly $8 for premium. Drivers said they were surprised, and not in a good way.
That's where we're at, $7 a gallon for unleaded in Los Angeles, over $5 a gallon now in all kinds of places, and it is just going to continue going up. Donald Trump was president. We were energy independent. We didn't get our oil from Russia. We weren't begging Venezuela or Saudi Arabia to ship us oil. We were energy independent. And no sooner, one of the first things Joe Biden did, shut down finishing that Keystone pipeline. Well, during the campaign, Donald Trump told us what it was going to be, and that is what continued to happen. Now, let's talk a little bit about COVID. There's really no doubt that COVID came from the lab in Wuhan. And in that lab in Wuhan, the United States was implicit in funding that lab. So you take that the next step. If the United States was funding the lab in Wuhan, they were doing biological, whether you call it warfare or just studies. They were studying the pathogens that ended up causing a worldwide shutdown for 2 years. And it's still going on with COVID. Well, the U.S. was involved in that. Now, first, I want to deal with COVID a little bit because I've been putting this off way too long. Should you get the COVID vaccine? For a lot of time, I said, you know, it's up to you. Study it. And if you feel like you should get the COVID vaccine, go ahead and get it. The more information that has come out about that vaccine, absolutely, positively, if you have not gotten the COVID vaccine, do not get persuaded to get it. There's more and more research going on that this, and it's not really a vaccine. By the definition of vaccine, this COVID shot that you get is not a vaccine. Anyway, it has long-term effects, affecting DNA, affecting a lot of things in your body. So I can just tell you flat out now, don't get the vaccine. Let's take a look at some of why. There's been many papers written, but in particular, I want to have you aware, this is a paper, it is called Worse Than the Disease, Reviewing Some Possible Unintended Consequences of the mRNA Vaccines Against COVID-19. This was written by an MIT scientist, Stephanie Seneff. Now, Seneff has been at MIT for years, a senior research scientist, been conducting research there at MIT now for over 5 decades. Her attention was diverted to the science of mRNA gene transfer technologies in early 2020 during Operation Warp Speed. As she wrote, to have developed this incredible new technology so quickly and to skip so many steps in the process of evaluating its safety, it's an insanely reckless thing that they've done. My instinct was that this is bad, and I needed to know the truth. So she dug into the research literature by the people who developed the vaccine, and then more extensive research literature around those topics. And her conclusion? I don't see how these vaccines can possibly be doing anything good. Her conclusions, they are shockingly hazardous. Of the total death reports, Pfizer, the only company that the Food and Drug Administration granted full licensing for, it's a as-yet unavailable COVID shot in the United States. They show 13,268 deaths. For Moderna, 4,894 deaths. And 1,651 for Janssen. The Pfizer, that accounts for the vast majority of hospitalizations post-injection. The age group, 25 to 50, accounts for the most, the hospitalizations. Heart attacks, thrombosis, shingles, Bell's palsy, a variety of permanent disabilities, many of which involve neurological dysfunction. The spike protein the most dangerous part of the COVID-2. When you are injected with the COVID jab, your body will only induce the IgG and the circulating IgA. It does not do the IgA antibodies effectively to protect your mucous membranes from the COVID infection. That's why we're seeing the breakthrough infections, confirming the fundamental design flaws of this gene transfer technology. The report goes on that a natural infection with the COVID will in most individuals remain localized to the respiratory tract. The vaccines used presently cause cells deep inside our body to express the viral spike protein, which they were never meant to do by nature. Any cell which expresses the foreign antigen on its surface will come under attack by the immune system. That involves the antibodies, also the lymph nodes. This can occur in any organ, but damage will be most severe in vital organs. They are now seeing that the heart is affected in many young people. Even sudden cardiac arrest and death. In other words, we're dropping the wrong bomb on the wrong target at the wrong time. Your body is essentially believing your immune system has failed, which means it must bring in the backup cavalry. In essence, your body is now overreacting to something that isn't true. You're not actually infected with a virus, and your innate immune system has not failed, but your body is forced to respond as if both are true. Now, maybe even worse is the long-term effects of this vaccine. They're looking at a completely untested manipulation of RNA. The spike protein in your body produces, in response to COVID-19 vaccine, mRNA, locks into an ACE2 receptor. That's because the genetically engineered new spike protein has additional prolines inserted that prevent the receptors from properly closing. That's partially how you end up with problems, pulmonary hypertension, heart failure, and stroke. Lung, heart, brain diseases, predictable consequences of the vaccine. Long-term neurological damage to be expected. Now, what happens when you get this COVID shot? How does that affect other things? Well, her studies indicate that you not only have the common side effects of the COVID shot, like the neurological, vascular, and cardiac damage, but that COVID shot activates latent viral infections. Latent viruses are allowed to break through. They are talking chronic fatigue syndrome, Bell's palsy, and others. Herpeviruses have been implicated as a trigger of both AIDS and chronic fatigue syndrome. Research suggesting those diseases don't appear until the viruses from different families partner up. And with all that in mind, The study says long-term COVID mass injection campaigns will result in an avalanche of a wide range of debilitating chronic illnesses. If you have not got your COVID shot, don't. Now, in Germany, where we have results from the insurance companies regarding health, the German health insurance claims, because these are the companies that are having to pay out the claims, they report 31,254 deaths following the COVID vaccine. The official German government stat report shows only 2,255 deaths following the COVID vaccine. So that is the reports from the health insurance claims, the companies that are having to pay out the claims, compared to the official government reports, are way up. Now, let's move over to Israel. Another thing when it comes to the COVID vaccine, Israel, they are one of the highest COVID vaccine countries in the world. In Israel, they have over 12% of their population infected with COVID, even though most of the population had their fully vaccinated COVID shots. On the other hand, Palestine, who has only 17% of their population vaccinated, their population has infected cases of COVID at 7.7%. In Jordan, where again they have a very low percentage of vaccinated people, about 32%, their population is 7.8% infected with COVID. So the country with the highest COVID vaccination also has the highest population of infected cases as a percentage of the population when you look at Israel, Palestine, and Jordan. That's got to make you wonder the effectiveness of that COVID vaccine. Are you more likely to get COVID if you get the vaccine? If you look at the Israel, Palestine, and Jordan numbers, that would be the conclusion. Again, you not only have a very dangerous injection, but you're also more likely to get COVID. Let's move on from COVID. Basically, the masks are off here in Washington State, and we really should just say COVID is over. You might feel like you have a cold. There's no need to run out, get tested for COVID. About a half half a billion, 500 million of those COVID test kits that Joe Biden ordered and paid for. Nobody's even bothered to fill out the form and get those mailed to them, even though they were free. Let's just say, hey, enough of COVID. Let's get on with life. All right, let's talk about truckers. God bless the Canadian truckers. They've started something that has gone worldwide. Justin Trudeau couldn't stand the truckers being supported in Ottawa, had some arrested. Finally, everybody's getting out of jail, even though they were denied bail hearings for a couple of weeks and just sat in jail because they had a charge of mischief. But the Canadian truckers, they went en masse to Ottawa and said, get rid of the COVID, the mandates. Of course, we know Canada, they were shut down even worse than the U.S. Well, the truckers, the people of Canada said enough is enough. The COVID mandates, still there. Justin Trudeau brought in the, call them what you like, the stormtroopers came in. The truckers, they had been shoveling sidewalks and picking up litter. It had been a peaceful, friendly, almost a party atmosphere in Ottawa till Justin Trudeau brought in the stormtroopers. They were smashing windows out of the trucks. The RCMP put their horses right into the crowd, injuring people. Terrible situation in Canada. Well, the Canadian protests are continuing all across Canada, and Trudeau isn't done with it yet. Now Trudeau says it is illegal for any trucker to accept money that had been donated to the convoy. And they're going to come after you if you accept a donation. Just one example of a government out of control. Well, that Canadian trucker convoy sparked the, well, it sparked the ignition of the diesels here in the United States. They started in California, they started in Florida, they started in Ohio, and they've converged on Washington, D.C. Have you seen it on the news? No. We've got this big conflict going on in Ukraine, so we can ignore the thousands upon thousands of semis, RVs, vans, pickups, cars that are encircling the Beltway in D.C. in a peaceful manner. Not even mentioned in network news. We're seeing miles and miles of trucks lined up every lane across. They're leaving one lane open for emergency vehicles to get through. Encircling Washington, D.C. They can't stop in Washington, D.C. They actually have to circle the Beltway because Washington, D.C. refuses to grant a permit. It's illegal to gather. It's illegal to protest. In Washington, D.C., unless you get a government paper that says you can gather and protest. So far, the truckers have been doing everything legal. How long that's going to continue, or how long the truckers stay, we'll see. But about guarantee you, unless it gets into a confrontation like January 6th, you're not going to really see it on national news. We're talking thousands and thousands of trucks in Washington, D.C. And they are there. They want an end to these government mandates. But The government knew when the trucks were going to arrive in Washington, D.C., so the U.S. had to make sure and prod and prod and prod Russia until they finally did invade Ukraine. I think we're gonna talk about in Ukraine coming up next. Disruptions, conflicts, nothing new to the Ukraine area. I want to take a few minutes. I want you to give a good listen. This is from over 6 years ago. It is from the University of Chicago. It was a talk really about what was going on in the Ukraine. The professor, John Mearsheimer, this was from 2015, and really, when a lot of U.S. things were going on in the Ukraine, and that was during the Obama administration. Give a listen.
Understanding the Russian response. What is the Russian response? Two parts. First is they took Crimea and they're not giving it back. Crimea's gone. Second is what they're doing is not trying to conquer Ukraine. There are many people who say the Russians are going to go on a rampage. They're going to try and reestablish the Soviet Union or a greater Russia and so forth and so on. That's not going to happen. Putin is much too smart for that. You remember what happened when the Russians invaded Afghanistan? You remember what happened when we invaded Afghanistan? You remember what happened when we invaded Iraq? You remember what happened when the Israelis invaded southern Lebanon? You want to stay out of these places. In fact, if you really want to wreck Russia, what you should do is encourage it to try and conquer Ukraine. Putin, again, is much too smart to do that. What Putin is doing is he's basically in the process of wrecking Ukraine, and he's telling the West in very simple terms, you have two choices. You either back off, right, and we go back to the status quo ante before February 22nd, 2014, where Ukraine is a buffer state, or you continue to play these games where you try and take Ukraine and make it a Western bastion on our doorstep, in which case we'll wreck the country. And they are, of course, now in the process of wrecking it. Right, and they're going to keep this conflict going for as long as they have to. That's the basic game here. Again, two steps. One, took Crimea. No way they're going to ever let Crimea become a NATO base. And remember, the name of the game here is to make Ukraine part of NATO. Not happening. And they're not getting Crimea. We've taken Crimea. We're keeping it. Number one. And number two, you want a frozen conflict or you want to wreck Ukraine so that it can't become part of the West. Question number two here is what motivates this? What motivates this is that Russia is a great power and it has absolutely no interest in allowing the United States and its allies to take a big piece of real estate of great strategic importance on its western border and incorporate it into the West. This should be hardly surprising to the United States of America. As all of you know, we have a Monroe Doctrine. The Monroe Doctrine basically says that the Western Hemisphere is our backyard, and nobody from a distant region is allowed to move military forces into the Western Hemisphere. I can tell from looking at the audience that most of you are old enough to remember the Cuban Missile Crisis like I am. You remember how we went stark raving crazy at the idea of the Soviets putting military forces in Cuba? This is unacceptable. Nobody puts military forces in the Western Hemisphere. That's what the Monroe Doctrine is all about. Can you imagine 20 years from now a powerful China forming a military alliance with Canada and Mexico and moving Chinese military forces onto Canadian and Mexican soil and us just standing there and saying, this is no problem. We're all 21st century people and worrying about Chinese forces there is what 19th century people like Vladimir Putin worry about. Of course that's not going to happen. We're going to maintain the Monroe Doctrine with regard to China just as we did with the Soviet Union during the Cold War. So nobody should be surprised that the Russians were apoplectic about the idea of us putting Ukraine on the western side of the ledger. And by the way, they told us, I gave you the quotes, in the wake of the Bucharest summit. I told you what happened in August 2008 with the Georgia War. The precedents were there. The rhetoric was there. They told us. But we did not stop our efforts to make Ukraine part of the West. And the Russians responded. Was it surprising? For some reason, President Obama and virtually all of the elites in the West were surprised. I guess this is because they're 21st century people, right? And they think that balance of power politics doesn't matter anymore. If you think these people in Washington and most Americans are having trouble dealing with the Russians, you can't believe how much trouble we're going to have with the Chinese. I'm very popular in China. I go to China quite often. And I usually start my talks by saying, it's good to be back among my people. Because when I'm in China, I'm intellectually much more at home there than I am in Washington. Because in Beijing, much like in Moscow, you're dealing with 19th century people like me. Whereas in Washington, you're dealing with 21st century people. I think the Chinese are going to eat our lunch, right? Talk a bit about the conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom is that Putin is the main cause of the crisis. Some say he's either crazy or irrational. Angela Merkel was making this argument for a while. He's bent on creating a greater Russia, and he bears marked resemblance to Adolf Hitler. Say a few words about each of these. I know a great deal about Adolf Hitler. I've written and I teach extensively on Nazi Germany's behavior in the 30s and during World War II. The idea that he bears any resemblance to Adolf Hitler is laughable in the extreme. It's hard to believe that serious people make that argument. The idea that he's bent on creating a greater Russia, I think if he could do it, he'd do it. He can't do it. Russia's a declining great power. And as I said to you before, if they were to try and create a greater Russia by invading Ukraine and by invading the Baltic states, they'd be jumping into the briar patch. In fact, again, if you want to wreck Russia, what you should do is tell them to try and create a greater Russia. It will lead to no end of trouble. I think Putin is much too smart for that, and he is in the process of wrecking Ukraine. I want to make that clear. And he's wrecking Ukraine because he's basically saying to the West, you can't have it, and I'll wreck it before you take it. Is he crazy or irrational? I don't think so. I think he's very strategic. And I don't think he's the main cause of the crisis, as I said to you. Another set of arguments associated with the conventional wisdom. This is that the United States is a benign hegemon seeking to promote European stability, seeking to promote stability in Asia, all over the globe, and so forth and so on. There's some countries like Japan and Germany, for sure, Poland, who view the United States as a benign hegemon. There are many countries out there who do not. Iran is one, China's another, and Russia's a third. They just don't see it that way. And because they don't see it that way, you should understand that when you take measures, you meaning the United States, that you think are going to be interpreted as benign, the other side will not see them that way. They will see them as threatening. This gets back to my point about democracy promotion. We believe democracy promotion is an unalloyed good, and we can't understand why people like Putin and the leaders in Beijing don't understand this, but they don't understand it. And if you don't recognize what other people think, you're incapable of putting yourself in their shoes, you're going to get yourself into a heck of a lot of trouble.
So that was from over 6 years ago that talk was delivered. Sounds very similar to what's going on between the U.S., NATO, and Ukraine now, like the Cuban Missile Crisis, Russia reacting to NATO and the involvement of the U.S. there in the Ukraine, right on their border. Now, when Russia went into the Ukraine, right off the bat, they found a bio lab. The U.S., of course, totally denied any knowledge and any involvement in the bio labs in the Ukraine. Well, at least they denied it until under sworn testimony the U.S. sort of spilled the beans.
Does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of Russian forces should they approach.
I'm sure you're aware that the Russian propaganda groups are already putting out there all kinds of information about how they've uncovered a plot by the Ukrainians to release biological weapons in the country and with NATO's coordination.
Now, does it really matter if you want to call it a biological lab or research for biological weapons? Put whatever name you want on it. It's just like when COVID escaped from Wuhan, the U.S. all concerned that Russia might get these bioweapons that, well, we were funding in the Ukraine. Now, all of a sudden, it's just scientific research. Well, why are we so concerned that Russia may get the contents of what's been going on, U.S. funded, in these bio research facilities in the Ukraine? Who do you trust? The big thing has been about Russian propaganda, and I'm going to say just flat out, in my opinion, the U.S. propaganda has surpassed anything the Russians have done. The U.S. networks, TV, radio, newspaper, are walking to the marching orders of the current administration. Where is this leading us? It's really hard to say. 2 years ago, I wouldn't have believed that we would be this close to the Great Reset. But Americans went along with the COVID fiasco of shutting the country down, basically shutting down small business, entrepreneurship. They didn't shut down the Walmarts, the Costcos, the big box stores. Those are okay to stay open. You won't get COVID there, but you go into a business that has one or two employees and, oh my God, you better lock the door. You might be getting COVID. Well, we went along with that. I didn't believe we would, but businesses did. To a great extent, destroyed hundreds of thousands of independently owned businesses that will never recover. Now Joe Biden issues a executive order that the Treasury is to put a full steam ahead on moving forward with a U.S. cryptocurrency so that the government can track every dollar and penny that you get and spend. Is the next thing a chip in your arm, a chip in your forehead? We'll have not have real currency anymore. I just want you to think about it, because that is where we are going. And Washington state government, for that matter, county government, city of Colville, they've been given all this free money. Well, where did that free money come from that the federal government keeps doling out? It has got to stop. For me, the cryptocurrency, the way it is right now, I'm not involved in it. I think it's still a little strange. I'd rather have a greenback. A dollar to spend that the government doesn't track. Not that that really, really matters, but I don't want Joe Biden knowing every last thing that I spend a dollar on. And I don't think you do either. We've seen how incompetent government is. We'll take the example, and I'm kind of surprised that that my example is from Texas, but they recently had a election down in Texas. Week or two after the election's over, oh my God, we forgot to count 10,000 ballots. The state election director resigned. You know, after the phony results of the presidential election. Now, the election may have turned out the same without all the shenanigans, but I guarantee you, there were enough shenanigans going on in that presidential election that nobody should have a trust in that federal election. Again, Biden may very well have won, legitimately. But there were a lot of strange things that went on in that election. We don't need that. And overall, here in Eastern Washington, where I'm at, I don't think it's been going on. The west side of Washington State, I have my doubts about some of what's gone on in a couple of counties, but no proof there. So it's time that all of us pay more attention. From 2 years ago when I told you, you know, my thoughts on COVID and what it was, and of course the medical doctors and the health districts and that thought that I was totally a kook. 2 years later, everything I told you was true. Just be wary of accepting the facts from the government and the people associated with the government and the people associated with the government, the mainstream network media and newspapers. I think they are all walking step in step toward globalization of a one world government. 2 years ago, I would not have said that, but everything is indicating that that's where we're getting pushed, and we don't need there. Be careful. Be prepared for shortages. Be a good idea. Make sure you have water and food on hand. Know how you're going to handle it if the power goes out. It's time to be prepared. Eric Carpenter with you. This is News Unbroken. I can tell you this. When it gets on News Unbroken, we've looked at it. I held off the Ukraine biolabs we had received a few weeks ago, information on the biolabs in Ukraine, and I wasn't confident. I could not get a second source really verifying the labs. When the U.S. government admits it, I'm going to say, okay, we've got, I believe, 26 biolabs in Ukraine. Don't know the exact number, but from what I've been provided, it looks like 26 of them. Just try and be prepared, because huge changes could be coming soon. Hate to be pessimistic about that, but that's the direction it looks like we're going. I'll be back with you again, hopefully sooner than the break I took here, because it's very, very disheartening to see the direction that our current federal government, not just Joe Biden, surrounded himself with incompetent people really, that had nothing to do. They don't know anything about what they're governing. We've got to get better government. We've got to get better government people involved. And how we do that? Well, we've got an election coming up. The midterm elections could tell a lot. Thanks a lot for listening.